For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, many thanks to Rabbi Sarna for filling in last week. Monday night I was busy. Davey was born at like 10:15. So I was thinking if I could possibly get here, but it's like too close to the time. It just didn't work out for me.
But, you didn't know what time was actually going to be here.
I didn't know exactly, but the whole day I was in touch with her by starting time. Depending, I might make it. I might eventually. It's at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. I said, forget it. There's no way. He told me he finished the introduction last week for all intents and purposes. So I'd like to. So I chose the piece. What the Nesiva Shalom, how he wrote his sefer. He wrote the introduction to Tshuva, and he wrote within the sefer many different topics, and he would write an introduction to that topic, a tefillah or Torah study, different types of midos and characteristics, and then he'd write an introduction, and then various articles, different pieces within that topic. So I chose, this happens to be the second mimer, the second topic that he has on the topic of Tshuva following his introduction, which so we'll do Mirtz Hashem tonight, and then we'll have next Monday night in the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. And that will take us to Yom Kippur. Okay, let's. As far as getting started, so I have a little number one there. As far as it, but let's just start with an example. Imagine at work, you have a colleague, and the colleague does the unthinkable. He goes behind. You're working on a team, and he goes behind your back, and he totally destroys the entire project that everybody's working on. And then he goes to the boss, and he blames it on everybody else. And everybody else feels the brunt of the pain of his mistake and his error, what he did. And it's clear he's the one that's causing whatever that you're dealing with now at work. So if I were to ask you to describe your feelings towards him, the feelings that you would have as a colleague, as a coworker, where somebody has done something, and I just gave a very brief description, and if you were to come up with words that would sound something along the words, lines of despised, I hate him, he is low life, should be low life, whatever words you would use to describe him. A very simple scene. If you would break down what did he do versus how do you feel about him, it would break down the way that I described it. What he did was go behind everybody's back, sabotage the project, and then go to the boss and blame it on everybody else. That's what he did. Those other adjectives of despised, hated, are the way that we feel towards him. They don't define or describe what he did. It defines how we now relate to him. Right? Fairly straightforward. Let's take a look with that introduction at a Rambam. Kosev a Rambam, says the Slonim Rebbe. Quotes a Rambam from Hilchos Tshuva. G'dola Tshuva, shemekareves ha'odom l'shchina. How great is Tshuva in that it brings a person close to the Shechina, close to the divine presence itself. So we've had, there are a number of statements that the Gemara makes, that the Rambam brings in his discussion of the laws of Tshuva, and this one is the greatness of Tshuva, that it brings the Baal Tshuva, the one who's able to accomplish this idea of Tshuva, close to the Shechina. Shene'emar, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. It quotes the pasuk from Hosea, Shuva Yisrael, return Jewish people ad until Hashem your God. He quotes two other psukim which all have that same idea of returning until Hashem, which the Gemara, and as the Rambam here quotes, understands it to mean that you literally come close to Hashem. That's what it means, ad, to return ad Hashem Elokecha, return until Hashem your God, like you're literally going to come close to the Shechina, to the divine presence. And then the Rambam continues, I'm skipping two lines down, five lines down, Kolomar, im tachzor v'tshuva, if you will return in tshuva, be tidbak, you will cling, you will cleave to me. You will attach yourself to me. That is the concept of tshuva. So in the same way, based on the pasuk, the Navi who says, return until Hashem, literally attach yourself to him, says, no, that's what's going to happen. If you can accomplish tshuva, what will happen is that you will attach yourself to Hashem. Hatshuva mikareves es harachokim. Tshuva brings close those who are otherwise far. And then the Rambam describes emesh yesterday. This person was hated lifnei hamakom. This person was hated in the eyes of Hashem. Mishukatz, disgusting. Humeruchak, distance. V'toeva, an abomination. V'hayom, and today, he went from being disgusting, despicable, abominable, who, ahov, he's beloved. Nechmad, he's sweet and dear. Karov, yedid, he's close. And he's a beloved. Says the Rambam, that's what tshuva does. It takes a person who is mishukatz, who is despicable and despised and hated in the eyes of Hashem, which he was just yesterday, and today he's beloved, he's dear, he's a friend, he's close.
It's not one of the attributes of Hashem that I think about is hatred and disgust. So is this allegorical in the sense of...
It's describing the way that Hashem relates, says the Rambam, to the sinner. So I don't know, I don't know how to answer that, whether it's allegorical. I'm just, at this point, reading it similarly. Says the Rambam, the sinner is in before Hashem these adjectives. He's sonoy lefnemach, a strong language. I'm acknowledging that yes, this is a strong language, mishukatz, despicable, abominable. And then today, he becomes beloved, sweet, close, and a dear. Says the Slonim Rebbe, Alacha Zayin, and the next Alacha Rebbe writes, Kama me'ula ma'ala sa tshuva. How great is the levels, or are the levels of tshuva, or the advantages of tshuva? Emesh again, yesterday, yesterday he was separate, distanced from Hashem. Shenemar avonoseichem hayu mavdilim beinechem levein elokeichem. The pasuk in Yeshayahu says explicitly that idea. Your sins have caused you to be distant, separated between you and Hashem. Soek ve'einu ne'ene. He calls out and he's not answered. That's the status of the sinner, that even when he calls out, he's not answered. Ve'hayom who mudbak b'shchina. Today, he cleaves and is attached to the Shechina. Shenemar v'atem hadveikim b'Hashem elokeichem. You are attached, cleave, cling to Hashem, your God. That's what the Rambam, two halachas in the Rambam, describing the relationship of the sinner to the relationship of the one who's able to accomplish tshuva. And the way the Rambam describes it is, just yesterday he was like this, and then today he can become like this. Slenra says as follows, Haramam v'dvarav elu, in the Rambam in these words, Heir lanu, enlightens us, es mahus godel pigam hachet, at the great blemish, thank you, of sin, the blemish that's created by sin, ves gedolos hachuva, and how great is then what happens, what's remedied through the concept of tshuva. Kibemes tzarich bir, says the Slonimer, one needs to understand something here. Lama behaskiru godol pegam hachet. Why, when the Rambam describes the blemish of sin, kasav does he write sheemesh hayez es sonoyu meruchok? That he writes that he was hated and distanced. V'chein begodol erech hatshuva. And when he describes the greatness of tshuva, he writes that he's beloved and close. Says the Slonim, and listen to this, is what I, my opening little example of the fellow at work. Hare in yonim halalu l'chora heim rak totsaos hapigam v'totsaos hatshuva. Those elements are manifestations, are results of sin and of tshuva. V'lo hatzir hamerkazi, but not the central definition of sin. If you wanted to describe the greatness of sin, you would describe what he did. You should describe, look at what he did. He did, speaking behind everybody's back, he sabotaged the program and then he went ahead to the boss and he blamed it on everybody else. That's what he did. That's how bad, that's the bad action. What action was so terrible? What's the result of that? The result of that is I can't stand him. When the Rambam describes how great is the blemish of sin, he doesn't define what it is, the sin itself. He defines what it does to the relationship between Hashem and the sinner, which is an important point to distinguish. That when the Rambam wants to talk about, well, what's so bad about sin, it's not the intrinsic that what he did is so bad. Can you believe what he did? It's so bad. He went ahead to the boss and he spoke behind everybody's back and he sabotaged a program. That's not what he says when he defines so bad. Why was it so bad? Look at what it did to the relationship between the colleagues at work. So when the Rambam says, how terrible is sin, he doesn't define the etzem, the reality of what he did, but what it causes between Hashem and the sinner. When he talks about the greatness of tshuva, what does he talk about? How we can bring them back together. So that the focus of the Rambam is not on the particular actions, but on what it does to the players involved, i.e.
But in the case you just described, in the work case,
right?
You related it to what the other people,
correct?
Think. So,
right. In other words, using how we would view it, if you came home and you were like just steaming mad, and your wife said, "What happened today? What was so bad?" You would say, "I now feel horrible about this person." No, we would have described, we would say, what happened today that was so bad? He did this, that, and the other. That's what's so bad. But the Rambam says, no. When Hashem is feeling like this is a terrible thing what this person did, he doesn't say, because he did X, Y, and Z, it's because I now don't have a relationship with him. He's distanced from me. He's now, in my eyes, far and abominable. And then when things are great, I say how close he is. Which is a different way of focusing on the sin, not on the action, but on what it creates, what the relationship, how the relationship is impacted between us and Hashem. That's what he's pointing out.
It would seem then that that the nature of the act itself is not as important as what it does to the relationship.
That's what he's defining.
It could be any. I mean, for each person, there is no one objective. There is no an objective set, an objective description of sin that would fit everybody. It seems that whatever it is that we do,
mm-hmm.
that we might do, that distances ourselves from Hashem, it might be different for you than it is for me. But
well,
the effect could still be the same on Hashem.
We all have the same lotas. We all have the same prohibitions.
Okay.
So in that sense, they are all the same. Whether or not there's a difference in how Hashem would relate to, let's say, if we were to know such a thing, and we don't, your big nisayon in life is Shabbos, and mine is kosher. And like that, your big test and my big test is keeping kosher. I don't know whether or not if you fail in yours and I fail in mine, whether or not Hashem would relate to us as if one was bigger than the other, given your circumstance. I don't know, but we do all have the same 365 don'ts, and those are the same for all of us. So I'm not sure if I fully understood your question, if I answered your question, but the starting point is the same. Whether or not they're all equally abominable, I think you can make an argument that they are, but I don't know how that would play into...
Well, I don't want to get into a polemic here, but you know, somebody who's just starting out on the path, who's keeping Shabbos, just starting out, he's still flipping light switches. Right, but he's doing everything else, and that's the last thing that has to fall into place. You know, it seems to me, would have to be judged in the context
100%.
Of where that person is,
100%.
Versus somebody who's a Shabbos keeper for years.
Yeah, I agree, and I don't know how that's dealt with, and that's, you know, beyond my human capacity to know exactly how that's done without question. That's dealt with. We're talking here, and from the idea, we're talking about a person who knows and says, I don't care, I am sinning on purpose, and that's what the Rambam is describing. Such a person is sonoy l'sanei hamakom, who was hated before Hashem, is distant. That we're starting just from the ideal in terms of that discussion, how that would relate to, you know, those are all complex and many factors coming into place. Again, just want to get back what the Slonimah Rebbe with the Nesiva Shalom is pointing out is, when the Rambam describes the greatness of sin and the greatness of tshuva, it's in the context of the relationship as it's impacted, rather than describing the greatness of the sin itself. Achein la'amito shel davar eino kein. The truth is that it's not like I just, meaning I was in the middle of a sentence in which it's not that it's about the intrinsic central element of the action itself that is central. That's really not central, but what's central is exactly as the Rambam is describing it as, what does it do to our relationship? Shehare kol ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvos, all Torah and mitzvos, heim etzos, are all, literally would translate as pieces of advice, tools, mechanisms, lehagia lebo tidbak, to arrive at, and to him you will cleave. Him with a capital H, to Hashem you will cleave, you will cling, you will become attached. Kide'isa b'sifrei HaKodesh, as the Sfarim describe, ze tachlis hakol. That is the purpose of everything, she Yehudi yihye davuk b'Hashem. That the Jew should cling, cleave, be attached to Hashem. Says in Nesiv HaShalom, the Rambam is very particular in his words, and he's exactly accurate. Everything that we do, all 248 positive commandments, 365 prohibitions, are all geared at one thing and one thing only, that the Jew should cling, cleave, be attached to Hashem. That's his goal. And Hashem says exactly how to do it. This is how you do it. And just parenthetically, there are many... there are ideas out there in the world of this is how I feel close to God. I'm a very spiritual person, and I do so by X, Y, or Z, and it could be anything. And there are people in the world who do all sorts of things, and they really are attempting and feel that they're becoming close to God. And it is a fundamental tenet of our belief system that it's a beautiful ideal, except God Himself told us how to become close to Him. That is, I've used this example before, I'll say it again just because it's very germane to what we're talking about over here. Imagine if you had a husband, I mean to say, I've used this before, you have a husband who comes home and his wife is on the phone every single time he walks in the door at the end of his day at work. And he says, you know, I really would appreciate if when I come home you'd hang up, we'd be able to just sit down for a few minutes together. And she says, yeah, it's really sweet, but I like cooking you meals and having freshly prepared dinners for you when you come home. And I said, that's sweet, I appreciate that, but meals don't mean anything to me. I'm really fine with a bowl of cereal. I really just appreciate getting on the phone. She says, okay, fine. Next night comes home and there's a steaming hot freshly cooked meal waiting for him, and his wife's on the phone and doesn't get off. Half hour later, she finally gets off, and he says, you know, I thought we discussed that I really, really would appreciate it if you would, you know, hang up the phone so we could talk when I go back. And she says, I know, but I made you this really delicious meal. It is delicious, I appreciate it, but it really is hurtful to me when you're on the phone. That it hurts. It's not just that, like, I feel like neglected. The next night he comes home and there's a beautiful meal on the table and she's on the phone. And he says, I don't understand. And she says, I really love cooking. It makes me feel so close to you when I cook a fresh meal that when you walk in, there's something fresh on the table. I feel so close to you, she says.
But I told you.
He says, you don't understand how you're hurting me. Every time I walk in and you're on the phone, how can you say you're feeling close to me by cooking me this meal? I keep telling you how hurtful it is when I see you on the phone. So without belaboring the point, so we can feel all sorts of things. I feel close to God when I do A, B, or C. So that's very nice. The Rebbe Shlomo has told us, this is how you can feel close to me. It's a two-way street. And he told us. 365 don'ts, 248 do's, and then all the stuff in between, which is great. And the Rebbe Shlomo says, this is, you want to accomplish bo tidvak, you want to accomplish cleave, cling, attach yourself to me, this is how you do it. Anything else, it's not what I want. So it's not just two people here. If those two people were sitting in your office and you're a counselor, so you could work with them, maybe he should feel different, but that's fine. But we're done on the Rebbe Shlomo. The Rebbe Shlomo says, this is what it takes to feel close to me. There's no discussion. That's what it is. That's all, end of the parentheses. Bottom line is, that ideal, that goal, is all that it's about as a Jew. That is the tachlis, that is the purpose of everything, is that the Jew should feel close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That he should cling, he should be attached. Now, hard things to accomplish, but that's the goal. So when the Rambam describes how great is sin, he puts it in the context of, what does it accomplish? What it does is, pushes the person away from the Ribbono Shel Olam. How great is tshuva? All he talks about is, what does it accomplish? It brings the person close again. Because all of Torah, heim etzos, those are tools for us to achieve bo tidvach. A Jew can ask, how do I attach myself to the Ribbono Shel Olam? How do I do that? Good question. Here's a chumash. That's how you do it. Read it through. Here are 613 mitzvahs. The Torah tells us how to do it. Hadvekus b'Hashem, I'm five lines from the bottom. Hadvekus b'Hashem, he... See, she ifoso shall Yehudi ne'eman v'shi oshro. It is the goal, the climax of all of his desires and all of his happiness is to feel close to Ribbono Shel Olam. Now listen to this next line: v'Yehudi echad godol me'hasheni. One Jew is greater than the next. Say, what makes greatness? How do you know this? Oh, he's a great Jew. What is it that defines whether or not one person is greater than another?
Size of
the
hat.
Size of his hat is one opinion. That's
the beard.
Right? Size of the beard, size of the hat. Is it how much kavanah he has when he davens? Is it how many mitzvahs he does? Is it how big his tefillin are? How much money his esro costs? There are a lot of tools that we can use.
No, but according to this definition, it's got to be how close he is to Hashem.
So says the Slonim Rebbe, if you want to know what defines the greatness of a Jew, kemidus godol dveikuso v'Hashem, how much he's attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, we don't have a way of measuring that. There's no like scale 0 to 100 where a person can say, you know, today I'm at 62 and I hope to be at 64 by the end of the week. It's not a notch system. And we'll get to a little bit, well, then what is it? But when you ask, what's first important to know is, well, what's the measuring value? You want to know, what does it mean greatness? A Jew says, I want to be great. And every Jew should say that. I want to be great. When a Jew says to himself, I want to be great, he's inspired on Rosh Hashanah, he's inspired on Yom Kippur or any other time of the year, and he says, I'm going to be better. I'm going to achieve greatness. In what is he measuring that? Says the son of a Rebbe, how attached am I to Hashem? How attached am I?
How do you measure that?
Oh, good question. We'll get there. Mm-hmm. But what I wanted to start with is, but that is the question that I ask. Now, in other words, your question is the right question. How do I get there? But I don't even know if that's the right question to ask unless I know that that's my goal. My goal is, how do I become more attached to Hashem? Where is it in more learning during the day? Do I need to learn more hours? Do I need to daven more? There are lots of things. But the question that I'm looking for is, how much can I say to myself, I am working on that goal? Yeah.
The person should be measuring stuff. Does it mean literally that the person needs, he should be like Hashem? Or
oh no, we're leaving. We're leaving aside right now how exactly to accomplish that. We're talking about what my goal is. My goal is Dveikus Hashem.
I think that there's a fundamental problem that maybe I have, maybe others do too, I don't know. It seems that in earlier times, mm-hmm. before the Enlightenment, you know, people could, you know, you could, like now, I don't even know what it means to feel close to Hashem. In other words, what does it feel like? Forget the how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But what does it mean to what does the vague, I know the vague is the term means, but what does it mean to feel close to Hashem? I suspect that our forefathers, who lived a life of Torah and mitzvahs, they knew what it meant. I don't know what it means to feel close to Hashem.
The other night, I said something which I'll say very briefly now for those who were there. The Mesil Shasharim, which I had planned on mentioning anyway, Mesil Shasharim wrote a sefer, Path of the Just, which is based on a piece of Gemara by Pinchas Ben Yair, who lists the different steps to achieve at the end of the day what he calls Ruach HaKodesh, to be able to be endowed with a divine spirit. And he goes through the steps. Steps are for Zihirus, being careful, Zerizus, acting with alacrity, and go through his table of contents of all of his different steps in terms of achieving that. And that begins with Perek Beis. Second chapter of his work begins with all of his steps. The heroes, and he has Nikios, cleanliness, Prisho, separating yourself, and Tahara, purity, Chasidus, piety, all of his different steps. And he has a chapter, or several chapters on each. But before he gets into any of those chapters, he writes, Perek Aleph, Bir Klal Chovas Ha'odon Ba'olamo, explaining what is the obligation of man in his world. And his opening line is, the Yesod HaChasidus V'Sherash Avod, the fundamental thing that a person needs to know is, Ma Chovasu Ba'olamo. What's your purpose? What's your goal? What's your obligation in this world? Why are you here? And he writes that is lehisanigal Hashem, to derive pleasure from Hashem, ulehenos mizir shchinoso, and benefit or derive pleasure from the radiance of His divine presence, which will happen in the next world. And then he writes, and if you look into this, you'll see the only true shleimus is rak hadveikus bo yisbarach, is only attaching oneself to Hashem. What David HaMelech writes, ani kiris elokim li tov, coming close to Hashem for me, that's goodness. Anything that brings me close to Hashem is good. Anything that doesn't bring me close to Hashem is not good. So I mentioned a piece from Reb Chaim Freelander. He wrote, he's a Mashgiach in Panovich in the last 50 years, 1500 years. So he writes, it's an interesting thing here. He has a whole step-by-step process to achieve these great ideals. And chapter one, he writes something which means very little. He talks about clinging to Hashem, being close to Him. Well, how do you do that? Well, that's chapter two. 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, 8, 9, 10. But he points out, before I can tell you chapters 2 through 10, I need to tell you what you're headed towards. So chapter 1 is your goal. What's your goal? Dveikus Hashem. You're going to come close, you're going to cling, you're going to be attached to Him. You then ask a question and say, I don't even know what that means. Say, great. But now you know what you want. That's chapter 1. In answer to your question, I have chapters 2, 3, 4, 5, and so on. But you're not going to read chapters 2 through 10 if you don't know what the purpose is. What's the goal? What am I after? So I start from the beginning, which is an ideal. And it's an ideal that if you only read chapter 1, you can read it 100 times, you will always be left with the question that you just asked of, I'm not really sure what that's like. Nor do I know how to get there. I know, that's fine. But you need to know what your goal is before you set out. Right? Can you imagine taking a trip somewhere and not knowing where your destination is? Of course not. It's very simple things. There's my destination, and then you can work out all the details. Where should I make a right? Where should I make a left? Which highway should I take? All very good. But you need to know where you're headed. So his starting point is, that's the goal. The goal of a Jew is like, what do I want? What do I want? When I want to achieve greatness, what does greatness look like? Greatness looks like I'm attached to Hashem. Okay, what does that look like? Well, does that mean I'm holding and learning all the time? That I'm thinking in about a piece of Gemara? Does it mean that I'm davening? Does it mean I'm a person of chesed? Does it mean that I have kavanah when I put in my tefillin in the morning? All of those things maybe. But those are all details answering the question of my goal, which is to attach and become close to Hashem. Did you have your question clear? Okay. Nimzim Kain, I'm 3 lines from the bottom. Nimzim Kain, Shekol HaTiurim Al Pigam HaChet, B'Nefesh HaYehudi, all the descriptions of the blemish of Chet in the soul of the Jew. Heim Ke'ein Negedzeh, Shenasa Sonu Yomerucha Kamuvdo Me'elokei Yisrael, are all in regards to the fact that when you talk about how great sin is, it's in relation to the fact that he is now distanced, separated from Hashem. V'lachain Shapir Magdir, flipping the page, that's why the Rambam describes the greatness of the Pagam HaChet, the blemish of Chet, in that which he is separated, distanced, may Aviv Sheba Shemayim, from his Father in Heaven. V'yaf Iker Erech HaTshuva, and when he talks about the principal value of Tshuva, he talks about how it brings a person close. Because that's our goal, that is our objective. Closeness to Hashem versus being far from Hashem. How does that feel? We got to work on that. But I first need to know what my objective is. Now he starts. Let's start. His next little, the end of that paragraph has to do with Kabbalah from the Zohar. I have a guess as to what he means, but because it's just a guess, and I'm not yet 40. We'll just leave it. We'll just leave it aside and move to the next paragraph. Not that I know anything magical that's going to happen to me in a few years when I hit 40, but at least I'll have it. I have an easy excuse now. And I just don't know anything about what he's talking about. Okay, the truth is that we gave a class on Kabbalah this past year, the 40 thing, whatever, we'll leave it aside. Many, many great Kabbalists were Kabbalists way before they were 40 years old. Just saying. Come on, Chayt Batshuva, says the Rambam. Says the summer, excuse me. Just like it's true with Chayt and Tshuva, just like it's true, meaning that chet is what chet really does. It's an action, but what it is about distancing oneself from Hashem. Taking another simple example, a husband forgets his wife's anniversary and doesn't bring home any flowers. So they say, what did he do wrong? So what he did wrong was he didn't bring home flowers. We could very easily identify a specific action that took place. That's the problem. He didn't bring home flowers or a card. But what did he do wrong?
He forgot.
Right, he forgot. Yeah, that's not. And you can even say more than that. Not just that he forgot the anniversary. Why did he forget the anniversary? Right. In other words, there's something else that's missing. What happened because he forgot the anniversary and didn't bring home flowers? Right. Now he's in trouble.
He hates him.
Right. So when you talk about when you define this little event, so you say like, well, what took place here? Well, there was a specific action. The action was, or a lack of action, I didn't buy flowers. We can define it that way. We can define it as I forgot. Well, let's assume he didn't forget. He just didn't buy. He knew that it was the anniversary, and he didn't buy flowers to keep it even cleaner for us. So what was the action or non-action here? I didn't buy flowers. What really happened here? If we were to look at this event and say, okay, what happened? So we can look at it and say, well, what happened was he didn't buy flowers. Or we can look at it and we can say, his decision not to buy flowers, because again, we're talking about a case where he knew it was the anniversary and he decided not to, caused a rift in their relationship. In which she comes home and says, you forgot? And he says, no, I didn't forget. She says, you didn't forget? He says, no, I knew it was our anniversary today. You knew it was the anniversary of five hours? And he says, yeah, that's right. Which is, in essence, what we're doing when we sin. It's not just that we forgot. Sometimes that's what happens, is that we forget. That's one category. That's the category in which we say, we forgot. Okay, that's one thing. But we got bigger problems than that. We have situations in which we know, and we decide against it. We decide to do things we shouldn't do or not to do things we know we should do. And we know. It's not that we forgot. So when we look at that event, if we're the observers watching that event, so we can say, well, what happened here? So again, we could say, well, he didn't buy flowers. Or we can say, he made a statement about the relationship. That's really what went on. So that's what's going to, the same way as chet is really about a statement about the relation. There was a specific action. The action might have to do with Shabbos, it might have to do with Kashrus, it might have to do with getting angry, it might have to do with Lashon Hara. There are specific actions, but it says something bigger about the nature of the relationship. Says the Slama Rebbe, Kemochein kol ha'alios v'hayiridos shel ha'adam kshurim b'midas hadvekos. So all the ups and downs in life, which we're now going to see what he's going to talk about, are also tied into the same idea of Dveikus. How attached is a person to Hashem? He continues, Kol ma'aseh shi'hudi osa, any action that a Jew does, every single action, every single decision, and this is a beginning to answer Steve's question of Scott's question of well, what does it feel like? What does it look like to be close? Says the Slonimer, every single decision and action that you make, either you could say this action will bring me closer to Hashem, or this will distance me from Hashem, because this action does not bring satisfaction or pleasure or any sense of a pleasing sense to Hashem. So that if you can live your life in slow motion, and every single decision you make, whether or not it's flipping the radio on in the car on the way from here home, whether or not it's the way you're going to speak to a spouse or a colleague or a friend or a child or a parent, or whether or not you're going to, when you get home, open up a book, open up a sefer, every single thing you could stop and say, wait a minute, will this decision that I'm about to make bring me closer to Hashem or push me farther from Hashem? Now, sometimes taking a nap, you could say, will bring me closer. I'm exhausted. I need a break. I'm not saying like every... Sometimes, yes, I need to relax. And this 20 minutes in front of the television, in front of the radio, is something that I need for my mental health. I'm not arguing against that. I'm only arguing that when you say that to yourself, you're saying it because I need a break. I need to relax. This is how I relax. Therefore, this brings me closer to Hashem. Maybe not in this specific moment, but because this is something that I need for my general health. I need to exercise. So do I say when I get on the treadmill, these 20 minutes will bring me closer to God? Not really. I mean, that's a tough argument. But it's something that I need to do for my health so that I could be closer to God. But if every decision, says Astronomer, needs to be made with that in mind, is this something which Hashem will look at and say, I am pleased with that decision, and therefore brings you closer to me? Or is it something which will distance you from him? That's how a Jew lives his life. That's how he feels close. What would it look like to feel close to God? That one thinks that way. That's what runs through my mind as I live my life. Are the words that are going to come out going to be pleasing to Hashem and bring me closer? Or will they be disappointing, if you will? Iker hisboninus vohis amkus, the principle... contemplation and thought that a Jew needs to think and weigh with all of his actions, whether or not this action will bring me close or bring me far. And that's a mindset. It's a starting point. That's
what's interesting here is there's no middle ground. It seems that whatever action you do or don't do is going to do one or the other.
Correct, and that's right. I would agree with that. In other words, I created a little bit of a parv in that there are actions that I do which do neither, meaning I need to exercise, I need to eat, I sometimes need to sleep. But it seems parv, but it really is on the side of, it's on the good side. It's something that needs to be done for my general well-being because I desire to be close to Hashem. And He made me into a human being and not an angel, and human beings need to do certain things to take care of themselves. And I'm doing so in order to take care of myself. Then it goes onto the side of good, even though it's intrinsically parv. Meaning, let me just finish the thought. I want to get to everybody tomorrow, those who want to dive in here now still. In other words, there are actions which are intrinsically good, an act of chesed, a mitzvah, learning, intrinsically bring me closer. There are actions which intrinsically take me farther. And then there are many actions which are in the middle, which depends why you're doing it. One person can take a nap, and he's going farther from Hashem. Another person takes a nap, and he's coming closer. You know, one person really should be productive during this time, and his going to sleep on life is a bad thing. Turning on the radio in the car is a waste of time. Watching a show at night is a waste of time. And then someone else, it's actually time spent with a spouse, with a kid, or he just needs to unwind because he's a human being and he's stressed out. So there is a lot of power of actions, which then depends on, do you have the mindset of, I'm thinking about this, am I doing it for the right reason or for the wrong reason? And then you have intrinsically good and intrinsically distancing types of actions. And always it's within those paths that there's much room for growth, in which if a person would have this mindset of, is this bringing me close, is it not bringing me close, it changes how we address all of those power of things that we do during our day. And as the mission of Pirkei Avos says, Kol Ma'asecha Yulishem Shemaim, all of your actions should be for the sake of heaven, meaning all those things which might intrinsically be power, but you can make them for the sake of heaven when done for the right reason. Yeah. Answer the question. Okay, that'll be it for today. I want to, it's 9:45, 9:43 actually, get down tomorrow. And we'll continue with Hashem next week.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.